At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm all right, man.
Still not,
I don't feel
still
great.
100%,
no.
Huh? Got the flu?
I don't know. I guess that's just what you call it when you don't feel good.
I feel like feels like a horrible cold, and as soon as I get a fever, if I get body aches, then I call it the flu.
Fever, body aches, can't breathe, congested.
Yeah.
Just irritable.
Yeah, well, that's just being sick.
I know.
Right? Anything makes me feel like crap. I get irritable. But if I get a fever and I'm laying in bed with my body hurting, I just think that's flu. It's probably not. I have no idea why I think that. But I think that's the flu. Well, or COVID. Because once COVID came around, they're like, it feels just like the flu.
And I had like, the test at my house. I looked at it and was like, what does it matter?
I don't think it does.
You're
I don't
right.
know. Yeah,
like,
I saw something in the news about Meryl Streep. A couple of big celebrities got COVID at the SNL 50th thing. And I just thought, why is that? Is that, are we, we're still talking about that? If someone gets COVID, that's newsworthy? Like, if they're a celebrity?
I don't know.
If you'd had a positive COVID test, if it hadn't
it wouldn't
come back
change
positive,
anything.
It doesn't change the rules for work, does
I'd
it?
I'd be at work today. I mean, I would have taken Friday off, which I took. If I probably would have taken it if I thought I was going to come in on Friday.
Yeah.
But when I decided at like 4 o'clock in the morning to text you and Bob.
Yeah.
Then at that point, it's like, well, no matter what, it's going to be 4 days later, so the protocol would be for me to go to work.
That's
anyway.
That's what I'm saying. I think it would just be the same anyway. Because I feel like we've just gone back to
whatever. I wouldn't come if I had COVID, like, that morning when I was feeling my worst. I wouldn't. I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either.
I may do it,
I don't think I would do it even if it came back negative. If I felt that way,
yeah.
If it was early on, like the first day of feeling my worst, I'd stay home.
Thursday, I have to apologize to you guys. You guys were trying to do a show, man. I was felt so bad.
It messes with your brain.
And grumpy. Like, I wanted, you know, I want to apologize to you, and I wanted to kill Snowcone. Like, I don't know. He'd just be like, yeah, boss, sure. Then you guys would be talking to me like, exactly, 100%. I'm like, man, I will come through that window one more time with the 100%. Yes, sir. I swear to God. Like, and then I woke up and like, I can't do that again. That can't be fun for people to listen to. I just need to go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm you said then that you didn't feel good. I was like, yeah, it happens. If your brain goes for this job, and I'm sure a lot of jobs, but for this job, it's definitely one of those, if you don't feel like you can think clearly,
it's
a struggle.
And then if stuff aggravates you, like, are you trying to be funny?
Yeah.
I swear to God. Like, it just, you know, it was bad.
It's like trying to run a marathon when you haven't exercised in years.
Yeah.
You just get out there and say, okay, do it. You're going to do a 5K.
Well, because nobody really wants to hear about it, right? And you come in here, and, like, it's not a hard job. It's not like going and swinging a hammer with COVID. I'm not saying that.
Which is true.
But there is, like, you know, you put on a little dog and pony show, make everybody think you're happy.
Yeah.
And then you get in here, and you're like, man, I will kill the people out where I swear to God I will choke both of them out, kill them. Somewhere about halfway through the show, I was like, man, just be quiet because you are going to hit somebody. I don't, and there's no reason why. It was just because I didn't feel good.
Well, I was just a grumpy little bitch. I looked it up. There's something called COVID anger.
No, well, I have.
And I'm going to be looking into that now because I want to know. We probably have long-term COVID anger.
Church of Laszlo. Going on?
Oh, nothing. Someone on Twitch. Is it Crackman who's saying this?
Mr. Imp, I believe.
Oh, Mr. Imp, sorry. Talking about a PO strike? Is that what they're called? No, yeah. That's probation's officer. Is
CO.
It? CO, thank you. CO strike, corrections officers in the state of New York. I saw that last week there were 4 or 5 prison guards in New York that were arraigned. They went to court. Because they've been accused of murdering an inmate. There was video. Did you guys see the video of the guy on the table? He's on, like, a nurse's table, it looks like, in, like, the medic room or whatever. And they're just they're kicking him and punching him and beating the crap out of him. And it killed him. And I'm not exactly sure how the video came out.
I did see that. Yeah.
And so now those guys have been arraigned. And then I see this stuff on our Twitch feed about them going on strike. I'm guessing that stuff is probably connected since it's all the same state, I'm pretty sure. And they're talking about sending in the National Guard.
That's such a bad look, man.
If you don't have corrections officers in a prison, what do you do? If they just don't show up,
I guess you just lock it down.
Well, they have to be locked
down. And then, you know, I don't know. Like, I talk about, you know, we talked about it, you know, like Abu Ghraib, right? We all remember that. Like, what happened? How are these soldiers taking pictures with these inmates and shocking them and all this stuff? It's because you had a lady, it doesn't matter if she's a lady, but she just happened to be, you had a National Guard person running that prison. Like, she was an accountant. She didn't have any experience doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
They were young. It wasn't what they signed up to do, and it wasn't what they'd been trained to do.
And you're like, go be in charge of a war prisoner camp. Like, that ain't something you just learn on the fly.
Right.
You know? And then you've got guys in there who, you know, like we talked about, like, you know, when I was on the ship and there was dead bodies floating in the water, I remember guys taking pictures, you know, and then our captain coming down and being like, yo, we don't take pictures of dead bodies. This isn't, you know, Disney World. This is a war. That man probably had a family and friends and a mom. You know what I mean? We treat him with respect.
Just immediately shut it down.
Immediately shut down. It made us all feel like, oh, God damn, man, put that camera
away. Yeah, not only that, made you feel bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what? And like, you know, he was like, I expect you to treat that man the same way that you would want to be treated if you were laying in the water on the other. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Would you want your parents to be able to go on social media or something and see pictures of God? Like, I was like, oh, boy.
Right.
I didn't bring it on the camera anyway, but, you know, the people that did.
It's not like they were trying to sneak him after that.
Right,
like they realized.
It was like, oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what happens when you have, you know, a colonel or a captain or whatever who's been through it before, you know?
His job is the military.
Exactly.
And he's been doing it for a while, and he's been trained.
And that's no hit on her, the lady who did it, but she wasn't trained to do it. It was, you know.
Was she the one that was in the picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she got in trouble, you know?
Yeah, I know she got in trouble for being in the photo. I just didn't know. I don't remember. It's been so long now. I know it was in a movie.
I just remember it hit me like, you know, everybody made this scapegoat out of her.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't her fault. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it wasn't a good instinct.
But
it wasn't.
She was bad at her job, yeah. But it wasn't her job.
Right.
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 It's like me at the, you know, checking out groceries at the self service counter. Like,
I'm sorry,
yeah, my job.
Missed
I got trained.
I didn't know.
Right? It's like, I don't know. A bunch of these soldier guys started taking pictures with the bonnet. That's what we did. I don't know.
Right. Well,
I'm not supposed to be here today.
The thought of guys and gals in fatigues, like in camo, coming into the prison to be COs, that's kind of shocking, but maybe that's not what it's happening. I don't know. Right. I'll have to look into this. By the way, if you want to chat with us, twitch.tv/Church of Lazlo. Speaking of going to prison, how do you feel about these alternative punishments that judges give out? We had a judge just give out another one of these weird ones recently. Yeah.
Okay.
And I found some of the stranger ones. You've told me some that you've heard in the past that are true, as far as we know. Maybe even you read about it in the news at some point. But I kind of like them most of the time. Sometimes I'm like, okay,
sometimes I don't mind the punishments.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm like, oh, that's clever in a better way than just saying, throw the book at him, put him in jail. Yeah. Maybe it'll actually work. I also don't love that they have the power to do
that's
that.
Kind that's kind of my thing.
Right,
that's
yeah.
Kind, yeah, like, wait a second. So this
right,
is in your book?
That one, I'm going to order you to move next door to a bar.
I want to talk about that.
I'm like, that's
crazy.
A good idea. And helpful, but I'm not exactly sure where you get the power to make me move.
That one was crazy. But we should talk about that, and I'll tell you about the one that just happened in a second.
The Church. The Church of Lazlo.
All right, what does judge do?
Yes, it's a Michigan judge.
Okay, where was he?
Where was he? I don't know, somewhere in Michigan. I've got it here. I'll find it eventually. But he was dealing with people who...
I went to?
That's what I was thinking. You had, quite a few judges.
I did have the one where I was in court, and the guy got up there, and he's like, I'm going to give you 120 days. And the guy's like, I can't do that. And the judge is like, what? He's like, I can't do that. He's like, what do you mean you can't do it? He's like, I can't do it. I got work. And he starts telling him, like, I don't even remember what all his things was. I got work. I got this going on. I got this going on. I got to do this. I'm getting married. I remember I was like this whole list of things. And the judge was like, oh, all right, then. I mean, what can you do? And it was so sarcastic, like, because I'm like, oh, he's going to crush this guy.
Of course.
And he's like, what can you do? And they're like, I mean, I could do 30. And the judge is like, fine, 30 days.
Unbelievable.
And so he goes, they take him away. The next person goes up. And he goes to give this guy like 6 months, and the guy's like, I can't do it. He's like, we ain't doing this all day. Six
too
months.
Bad. Just
like, man, you're
out.
Number two. I think the judge realized at that point, like, oh, you're all going to try it now. Six months. I was like,
you'd be fool not to try. I would even try the third time. Like, yeah, maybe it's been long enough. I don't know. Well, this judge, it's Grand Blanc or Blanc?
Oh, yeah.
Grand Blanc.
Yeah.
Is it Blanc?
Grand Blanc.
Grand Blanc Township, 50 miles north of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with theft, shoplifters. There is some judge that I follow on Instagram. He's one of these guys, you know, that gives them lessons and all this. He kind of irritates me, but in a way that I keep watching. I'm not sure why. But he deals with a lot of theft, a lot of people stealing. They got in trouble already. Now they get caught stealing again. A lot of young people. And that's what this judge had in front of him, people that had been stealing from Walmart. So he's like, yeah, I got
an
idea.
A judge in Michigan has come up with a unique punishment for convicted Walmart shoplifters. He's sentencing them to wash cars in the parking lot of the very Walmart they stole from. The so-called Walmart washes will start in the spring, and about 75 to 100 people are expected to take part in this unusual community service.
So I will say that this judge is coming to help. He's going to come help wash the cars. I don't know why exactly. But he also said, but I do think that's good. If you're going to make somebody do something unusual, I think it looks a little better if you are willing to go do it with them.
Of course.
It's not such a bad punishment, I don't think. Seems like it's probably easier than the alternatives that are, you know, like in the book, like you said, the things that they can actually give you probation, a little bit of time, whatever, fines. Not to say they didn't get the fines, I don't know, but they have to wash these cars. And he said that it's to reward these customers who have to deal with higher prices because of theft and that could lose stores because of theft if it doesn't stop. So it's like, okay, the washing cars, it's not directly related to the crime, you know? I like the ones sometimes where they're a little more directly related to the crime. Like there was one in Utah. A 13-year-old girl named Caitlin and her friend, they started talking to a 3-year-old in a McDonald's play space and suddenly decided to chop off her hair, the toddler's hair. Yeah, like a big piece of the hair came falling down. I don't know if they cut it all the way, but they cut some of her hair. This girl got in trouble, obviously. Caitlin was hauled before the court, and the judge ruled
that she had to get her hair cut?
Yep. See, with those, I'm like, okay, you know what? The punishment fits the crime. The judge said you got to cut off your ponytail.
I guess they probably.
I'm with you on the why are they allowed.
But I think the way they phrase it is like you can either cut your hair or go to jail for 6 months. Like it's not like one or the other. Like you have to go do this. It's like, hey. So I think like the guy who got sentenced to, you have to move to the apartments next door to the bar that you always get a DUI coming home from. I think it's like, show me you moved into that apartment.
Yeah.
And you can live there and only walk to that bar. Don't show me that you live in that apartment and I'm sitting in jail for 2 years. I think that's how they get
away
with
it. That's what I always assume.
Right.
Is that this is, if you don't want to do it, you can do the standard punishment. But in this instance, it was the mother of the victim who was allowed to cut the hair.
Oh.
Allowed to cut the ponytail.
Did she do a good job?
That would scare me a little bit. What was her name? Valerie. She proceeded to snip it off, but the judge or whatever, they said, you got just a little bit more. It's not quite sure enough because I don't know how much hair this teenager cut off of this little girl, but it must have been a good amount.
Why? Well, that's what are you doing?
A weird thing.
As a teenager,
you're 13. That's a little sadistic.
Right. I like the punishment, but it's also
toddlers?
Like, I think part of that would be like, you have
you
to go
look
talk to someone.
Into you. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Talk to a psychiatrist.
Get an evaluation here.
That's a little weird.
Another one. So this happened in Cincinnati, Ohio. This guy, Mark Byron, he called his estranged wife evil and vindictive in a Facebook post. Okay. Mm-hmm. This judge, Paul Myers, ruled that Byron had broken the law by violating a temporary protection order that had been granted to his wife. I guess you're not allowed to, with the protection order, you're not allowed to talk crap about them on Facebook. I guess if you're sending them the messages, I don't know. Myers said Byron could face 60 days in jail and a $500 fine, or he could catch up with his child support payments and post an apology to his wife 30 straight days in a row on Facebook. Which I wonder, and some of these people in that situation will go, give me the 60 days.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to get on Facebook and make my post every day about an apology to my ex-wife. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
I'll take the 60 now.
Right.
Right now.
I mean, and it's not most people. I mean, maybe it is, but certainly some people. You would take the 60.
I'd take the 60 right now.
It's that public thing. Now, if it said send it to her.
I'd still probably
text
take the
60. Text her an apology once a day. That'd be
give
tough.
Me the
That'd
60.
Be tough for you. Oh, come
give
on.
Give me the 60.
60 days, 30 maybe, but 2 months over just texting her once a day, you'd take the texting. But the Facebook.
I mean, probably Facebook, too, if it came down to it, because, you know, I got kids raised and stuff. But take that part out of it.
Yeah.
I do. Say it's just normal, just me, no kids, nothing else.
Yeah.
Give me the 60.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I knew there'd be some people who would take it. I thought there's a possibility Lazo might be one of them. In 2011, another thing out of Ohio, in 2011, a couple decided that it would be fun to ride down a swollen river. I don't know how flooded this
swollen
area was.
River.
Yeah, there was flooding, I guess, on the river. And they thought it would be fun to get in a kiddie pool and try and float down the river. But they ended up getting lost. Emergency workers were sent out. They had to spend money and time sending search and rescuers to get this couple. So they were punished. They were put in, which I didn't know that you could even get punished for that. I thought that was like, we all look at you and go, why'd you do that? You're wasting resources. But if you decide you're going to go off Niagara in a barrel, they go get you. And I remember my parents being like, they shouldn't have to go look for them. If they want to go do this, they shouldn't have to go get them.
But also,
maybe they don't.
I feel like it's the same with Mount Everest or whatever.
Exactly, same thing.
If you want to scale it, fine, but
no
one's coming
to
get you.
And I don't know if they do in those situations, honestly. I'm not sure. I just remember my dad complaining about that.
But if we do send, like, you know, people up there, you shouldn't get in trouble.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing,
too. You know, like, I don't necessarily know that we should send people up there, but if we have a country have decided, like, if this person's going to scale a mountain and they get stuck up there, we're going to send somebody.
Yeah.
Then I don't know why they get in trouble. They didn't do anything wrong.
Right. You didn't ask to be rescued is my thing. Some of them may have, but
you didn't ask to get stuck up there.
Yeah. So, anyway, they were in trouble, and their punishment was they had to stand in a kiddie pool that had water in it at a town festival all day, or all weekend, I guess, and they wore life jackets and handed out water safety brochures. So they stood there in life jackets in this kiddie pool. Now, I wonder what the jail time, because how much time could you possibly get for getting on the kiddie pool, floating down the river for fun, and, you know, they have to send someone to get you.
Kiddie pool thing, though.
You would? You just stand out there in the festival and the thing?
Yeah, I mean, how hard is that?
There is part of me that just, it's so dumb.
It's
that I get so angry
personal.
About a judge doing that sometimes. The idea of a judge doing it to me, it's like this, when I read it in the news, I'm like, oh, that's clever. The DUI thing, the thing that we keep referring to, was that in Michigan?
I don't remember.
It was a guy who kept getting DUIs, and he was in front of the same judge several times, and the judge finally said, look, you have to move next to the bar.
Right.
Like, you have to get it within a certain
distance.
They
put him in jail, like, several times, and, like, all right, whatever.
Right.
Just
move next to the bar.
And I think he did. Like, we haven't heard from him since.
Right. Okay. So there you go. Got to be the bar that you want to walk to. Yeah. And make sure, or maybe the one that you always go to.
Yeah, there were like restrictions on him. He was on probation, but he wasn't allowed to go to any other bars. Just that one by his house. Like, if they caught him anywhere not walking, then all this would be taken away.
But. Yeah. So I think that stuff's clever, but at the same time, I know me, and I know I could see myself getting a little irritated with the judge in front of me trying to be cute. But then this one I remember. This happened in Colorado. Judge Paul Sacco, Colorado. He was tired of doling out ineffective punishments for people playing their music too loudly. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
It was in 2008.
It was like Frank Sinatra.
Barry Manilow.
There you go.
In 2008, you signed a $5
that's
fire.
A punishment.
Yeah, they could be way worse, right?
Well, I happen to like Barry Manilow.
Way worse. Barry Manilow doesn't seem so bad. I think the judge was trying to find something that would really irritate them. But that's not going to do it. If you make me listen to the Eagles' greatest hits over and over and over.
Well, everybody's got their thing.
Right. I mean, I will go, I'll go mad. You have to just go ahead and give me the Weekends in Jail or whatever it is. But same thing, when that story, everyone thought that was cute. And that story came out, oh, look what this judge did. And I do too, sort of. But I just know that I'm in front of that judge. I'm pissed. Like, I'm not doing your cute little thing here. I'm not participating. And I get myself in more trouble. If it's 60 days, though, in jail, I will. Six days in jail, I will write whatever I got to write on Facebook. I have a very small penis, and I love my ex. Whatever it is, I'll write it over and over. 60 days is too long. If it was a weekend, a couple weekends in jail, and like, you know, you got to go do 2 weekends in jail, or you got to write these apologies, I'll take the weekends. But 60 days?
60 days is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
But putting something on Facebook, apologizing to your ex publicly, is a lot.
I guess if you could just preface it with, this is my sentence.
But I bet you can't.
I know. Well, let's start with my day one of exactly. my sentence and then write it.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
We're
going to do the news here in a minute?
Yeah, we are going to do the news.
Exciting.
Plenty to talk about. We might be getting checks in the mail. So that's good. I'm excited about that.
Grand?
Everyone likes a check. Yeah. That's a decent chunk of change, right?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Pope Francis. Is that his name? The current Pope? Yeah, Pope Francis. He's not doing so hot. He might be dead right now as we speak. I don't know. Over the weekend. You know when someone that old is getting sick and then they say, oh, they're back in the hospital because they've got pneumonia again. That you know. Like that pneumonia a couple times and they're in and out of the hospital with
it. That's not good.
That usually means the person is dying. They can't stay healthy. He's got some sort of breathing apparatus things in his nose that... They make it sound like they're special.
I
thought, well, doesn't everybody?
Right now.
Yeah, that would help you get the oxygen tank and put some pure oxygen in there. It might help you. You could go lay in one of those, what are they called? Hyperbaric chambers. Might help your flu symptoms. I don't know. A big concert announcement. You'll have to drive a little ways if you want to go. You probably already heard about it, but this is a big one. Probably be the biggest summer concert of the year. And, you know, there's other stuff, true crime stuff. What are their names? The brothers that killed their parents?
Menendez
brothers, yeah. Remember, they were almost out of jail, and that DA was like, all right, I'll get them a new trial. Basically, we're going to get them out of jail. Because there was all of this support after that Netflix series and documentary.
Right.
Which is just crazy that that's the thing that got
that's
it going.
That's what does it, right?
And that's what got it. That's what it was. Yeah. It was a Netflix thing. You can't deny that all these people suddenly were interested because Netflix did a couple shows about it. And that DA realized it was a popular thing to say, I'll let them out. He thought it could help him get reelected. Because he knew...
And it did not.
He knew that he was polling poorly.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get reelected, so... Menendez brothers had to sit there and say, all right, what's a new DA going to do? New DA said, I need to review everything, but I promise I will. Well, he's reviewed everything. I'll tell you what he thinks in just a second.
The Church of Laszlo. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
At least once a week we get something about an American airplane. What's going on? More trouble in the sky. This time it was a bomb threat for an American Airlines flight returning from Europe. Not good.
Another scare in the sky after a bomb threat caused an American Airlines flight traveling from New York City to New Delhi, India to be diverted. Video capturing Italian fighter jets escorting the plane to its new destination in Rome once the aircraft entered Italy's airspace.
There was
jets flying near the aircraft. The aircraft was just being told there's a security situation. I got worried that something might have happened in New Delhi, like some attack or something on the airport.
So this guy's a passenger. He's returning to Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where he lives, and over the intercom or whatever, all they tell the passengers is, hey, there's some sort of security risk. Then okay. they see these fighter jets flying alongside the airplane. So they don't know what's going on. They know that there's some sort of security threat and fighter jets escorting us. And you know how on those international planes, they have the little GPS that shows you where your plane is. Now, maybe they turned that off. I don't know. But I couldn't help but think as you're flying across, you know, trying to get back to the United States, you made it as far as you have, that you see your airplane start to turn around. Because it did. I watched its flight path. They turned around. Then they sort of turn back around again, and they get over Italy, and they start just kind of doing circles because I think they're probably waiting for a place to land. But if you're in that airplane and you see those fighter jets and you don't have any information, what do you think is going on? Why would these jets be up there? I guess you try and use the Wi-Fi on the plane to talk to people on the ground. Was there a terrorist attack on the ground?
Right.
Was there a terrorist attack at an airport? Like, what's going on? I mean, I guess I'd rather deal with that than the airplane having some sort of mechanical thing that's scaring me that really isn't a big deal, but that I don't know isn't a big deal. You know, some sort of shimmy or... Even when those things, like when the cowlings or whatever they're called, fly off of the engine and...
When you start hearing a plane rumble and make noise and stuff, that's scary. At least with the fighter jets and stuff, I'm like, I don't know what's happening. There's like a real... Like, base of, like, I have no idea.
But you think 9/11, as an American...
I think there's something, but I don't necessarily think that it's on my plane.
Okay. So it could be numerous planes. Yeah. But also, you're over Europe. So now you don't know which country is it... What's happening? Is there some... And I don't even know if I would have the thought that, like, is there someone who has made a threat to this airplane... Like, over the phone. When I hear bomb threat, I think of somebody calling, texting, whatever, saying there's a bomb at the school, on the plane, whatever.
I got to at least, I don't know. I mean, I'm nervous, but I think I'm in the plane, so nothing's going on in here.
Right.
That I know of. Like, there's nobody standing up, like, saying, I'll blow us all up. So I'm like, all right, it's not in the plane. So whatever is outside the plane, and I feel better about that.
But if there, I would at least start to wonder, did someone manage to get in to that cockpit, and the pilot is remaining very calm, but there's someone in there who's telling him where to go.
Right,
and now there's airplanes flying next to me because the airplanes are here for one reason, to blow me up so that we don't blow up.
I mean, look, it's not a good situation, but I think I feel better if I can look at the stewardesses and they're not freaking out.
Yeah, you'd definitely be looking to them. And I would probably be asking them. I don't normally, but I would probably be asking them questions like, please, what do you know? Do you know anything? That would be scary. But anyway, everyone's okay. I don't know who made the bomb threat. I'm sure they're looking into it. The Pope Francis, he's very sick.
It was probably him.
It could have been. He's not feeling well.
He said Italy, right?
Do something naughty before he leaves.
Pissed.
Yeah, maybe that's it. He's like, you know what?
I'm trying to kill me off before I'm dead.
Yeah.
Not cool.
So I'll... Call in a bomb threat to an American Airlines. That'll make the news, you know?
Pope Francis was supposed to celebrate Mass and ordain hundreds of deacons at St. Peter's Basilica, but that did not happen. He remains hospitalized. Vatican officials tell us that he had a peaceful night, that he rested, and we understand that he is still using those nasal cannulas to get what are called high flows of oxygen to help him breathe.
Okay, he's going to die, right? I mean, I know that's what I thought. I thought, well, Lazo could use some of that.
Yeah, where do you get those?
I don't know. But he's got to be. He's not going to make it.
How old is the Pope?
I don't know because my internet went out.
Cannulas, those are just the little breathing tube thing.
That's it?
Yeah.
So he's just leaving them in to help keep his nostrils open? That's what I wondered if that's all they're doing is sticking those. Because I've been sick before and I could use that.
Yeah, it's hooked to an oxygen tank. So I mean, it's
they're giving it a big name, but
all right. So he's on anyone who's on oxygen,
he's just
right?
on oxygen. That's
he's on oxygen. Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds to me like he's not going to make it. It's still news, but I do feel like Pope news has gotten a little quieter in my lifetime. When we were kids, there could be big news with the Pope that was massive news. They did give you updates constantly on his whereabouts. You know, what he'd said, it seemed like it was in the news quite a bit. Mm. Now, you know, it's still news, for sure, but it does feel, and maybe it's just...
like we only hear about him...
If something bad happens,
or... if he dies, or sometime during election he says something.
Right, says something
where,
that's a little
controversial. You know, either liberals get super pissed at him, right, or... He says something about, act more like Jesus and give people money and the conservatives lose their goddamn
Yeah, him brain. And Trump got in a bunch of
Right, yeah, like, that's it. It's either one, like, he either says, you know, we're not letting Biden take confession, because he's pro-choice, so screw him. And, you know, Trump isn't Jesus-like. And then both sides lose their mind, and then that's it.
Yeah, that's that. So, but it is still news, I guess, because they when he got sick, since he's been sick, I feel like they've talked about it quite a bit. So, but my guess, like I said earlier, if they're talking the way they're talking, he's going to die this week. That would be my guess. But I don't wish any ill upon the man. Big, huge concert announced for this summer. Mm-hmm. Two bands. This is like, you know, depending on your age, this is like one of those shows that they do. What they used to do them downtown, you know, the shows that were supposed to make everyone feel nostalgic. And you go, you know what, I used to love these guys. Like the free shows they would do downtown and stuff like that. You go to see these bands that you liked 20 years ago, but you haven't listened to since. Now, one of these bands I think a lot of people still listen to, but the other one I think most people stopped listening to years ago. I watched their documentary. Even they made it seem like people stopped listening to them years ago. Nickelback and Creed
doing
a show together. Yeah, I think it's the Summer of 99 Festival.
I've had it with all this Nickelback hate. Right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic, ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts.
Well, Deadpool drop there for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know which Deadpool that is. Is it in the first one? I don't remember. But the two of them are doing a show together. Lazlo's the concert expert somewhere in Wisconsin, but my internet hasn't worked for the last 10 minutes, so I'm not exactly sure where in Wisconsin. I knew this morning, but planned on looking it up right now. It's not too far. I mean, you could drive there. You could be there in a day, no problem. When I looked this morning, looks like it's a day trip. It's, you know, for the weekend, you go there, see Creed and Nickelback. I just wanted to ask you how many people you think Creed and Nickelback can sell together.
A lot.
At a summer show. I think it's a lot.
A lot.
Because Creed can still sell a ton of tickets, right?
20, yeah.
I mean, Creed's done it really well the last couple times.
And Nickelback still sells really well.
Do they? I mean, that documentary was so good.
They sell as big as Creed. Like, it's like if Nickelback needed to take a couple more years to become Creed, but I think they probably saw Creed's T-Mobile Center performances and like, oh, okay.
Right, we can do this.
Nickelback played T-Mobile last time they were here.
Did they?
Yeah.
In that documentary, they definitely, I was surprised at how much Nickelback was kind of down on themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought they would say, like, people still listen to us. Oh, we got this hate or whatever, but we're still big. Because in my mind, I kind of thought maybe they still are. But it seemed like, yeah, I guess maybe they're not so big. They talked about getting played on TikTok and being introduced to new audiences that way, to young people. But Creed, I know, can sell tickets because I've watched them do it. So I would think that the majority of people buying tickets to this show are Creed fans, but I really don't know. It could be 50-50, and I think they could sell a ton. I think two of them doing a summer show together could sell a ton. And I think we should go, since he won't take me to see Gathering of the Juggalos, even though you've been promising for years, I think we could do this. It's I know that it's something you would rather do than going to Gathering of the Juggalos. We don't have to camp. We don't have to be out there with a bunch of juggalos. I know you're nervous about something bad happening. Some sort of juggalo or juggalette trying to hurt you, even though Violent J said he'd give us a VIP area behind the stage. You wouldn't take him up on it. I feel like Nickelback Creed would be a fun thing for us to go do together. Elon Musk sent out an email to government employees basically saying, hey, tell me what you do. Give me some bullet points. I want to know what you did last week. I want to know what you do around here. And this has caused tons of controversy from people who work in government, from some politicians. And some of these people have not responded. They've been told, some of them, to not respond to the email. Well, Musk said if you don't respond by Monday night, tonight, then you're out of a job.
Did you do last week? That's the question Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency team insist all federal workers must answer in an email. Musk adding on a social media platform X that failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Those emails were already being received by federal employees Saturday, asking them to send 5 bullet points of what they accomplished last week, but noting employees should not include classified information. The deadline for replying set for Monday at 11:59 p.m.
I know me. I know if I got one of those emails, they'd be like, I just quit. I mean, unless I'm making a ton of money, like, I'm not doing this stupid thing. I don't know what I did last week. I'm not going to put and I can absolutely hear family members, friends saying, just do it. Just put some bullet points together and come up with something. But it's kind of like when you apply for a job and they want you to take a personality test. It's just like, you want me to take a personality test? I don't even want this job anymore. Just forget it. Also, here, if you had to ask us, what did we do last week? Our job, it's easy to write that email because we either came to work or we didn't. That's it. Just put on the thing. Okay. We showed up. We did this many shows, 4 shows. But if you worked at any of think about any of your previous jobs that you worked at, if they ask you what to do, it could be tough. And if you're a government employee, if you work in an office, and you know what? When I worked in promotions in radio, that was sitting behind a desk and I was supposed to be doing other things. If someone said, what did you get accomplished last week in promotions when I did it? I would have been in a lot of trouble. because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Right. So I just sat there on MySpace trying to look busy, and I had folders that I would put papers in, and I would put. And I'll never forget it.
That's what everyone does.
The end of the year, my boss asked for this thing that was supposed to be a full year-end report. I need this report. Literally, it was a report. Had it in the name, so I hand it to her. And she opens it up, and there's one piece of paper in there with something on it, and then blank pieces of paper. She goes, "What's this?" And I was like, "That's the report." And she's like, "Have you not done this at all year?" And I was like, "Well, I tried to do the first one, but I don't feel like I was doing that right, so I kind of forgot about it after that." She's like, "Oh my god!" And that was it. After that, I said, "You know what? I don't think this is working out."
Well, there you go.
But that's the dream, though. You want to make it to that far. You don't want to get an email from Elon saying, "Tell me five things you accomplished last week." Get write it down in bullet points. Ugh. Jesus Christ! I don't know. Just ask ChatGPT to come up with something.
Exactly,
for you. It'll do it. It will.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. What's going on?
We're finishing the news.
Bro, do it.
So the Menendez brothers.
Yeah.
They thought they were. I mean, they were almost out of jail, it seemed like. With that last DA, it seemed like he was going to let them go. And, there was a new DA. That DA didn't get reelected. So a new DA comes to town. He says, "I got to take a look at this." So the Menendez person is like, "Well, crap. We have to wait." But it's not like they've waited a lot of years anyway. So what's a couple more months? Well, the new DA, he promised he would look through everything thoroughly. And he promises now that he has. He called a press conference and wanted to update everybody on what he thinks about this.
While it may have been a motivation for Eric and Lyle to do what they did, does not constitute self-defense. It's I also understand that when it came to any corroborating information about that sexual abuse, it was extremely lacking.
So, extremely lacking, that doesn't sound so good. When the family and the advocates are saying, hey, they were abused, that's their main defense.
Right.
It's not that they didn't do it. It's that they were abused. And he's saying, yeah, that doesn't matter. So, oh well. I'm sure if you're in prison that long, you learn not to get your hopes up.
Yeah,
but in that situation, yeah, you were so close. You were really close. If that guy had gotten reelected, you'd probably be out now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this train coming with the Netflix stuff. Like, did you start to get hopeful then?
I'm sure.
Hey, they're going to tell our story. Let's see what happens. I don't know how much they knew about it. Then you start to see this groundswell of people online on TikTok talking about how they need to free these guys. Literally turning it into a political movement. So much so that the former DA was like, I guess I need to do something about the Menendez brothers. Because I might not get reelected.
And this new guy's like, yeah.
New guy looked at it. He's like, yeah, well, I'm not that into it. I guess it was apparently pretty long press conference, and the Menendez brothers' supporters on TikTok, they weren't happy about it at all, of course. You can imagine saying that he didn't need to call the press conference, that it was stupid, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they're not happy, but sorry, guys. Looks like that's what's happening. Jason Kelsey, this is in the news because Jason Kelsey was on a podcast talking about Travis. Travis wasn't there.
What podcast?
Fitz and White.
Okay.
He's on the Fitz and White podcast. Sure. Talking about Travis, they're talking to, you know, he's talking about Travis. One of the great things about Travis is he's always been kind of a kid. He never grew up. I always liked that about him.
One of the things I love so much about Travis is that he never grew up. Like, he was like Peter Pan, like the Lost Boys.
Is he growing up now, though?
For sure. It's changing. And I think that sometimes, you know, you get people in your life that maybe get that out of you, and that's a good thing.
That are worth changing for.
They incentivize you to get changed.
There's no question.
Right. So you can imagine what those headlines turn into. That Jason Kelsey says that Taylor Swift is responsible for Travis growing up. Yeah, and that he's, you know, got good people in his life. How Taylor Swift changed Travis Kelsey's life. I saw that headline more than once today. I know.
Like, why would that be? Is it a headline like in a negative?
No. I think it's just like because it involves Taylor Swift, they want to talk about it. She's that popular that if someone's talking about her without even really talking about her, without saying her name, then like, hey, somebody else talked about Taylor Swift.
No celebrity. By the way, not what they say about women. Meaning, like, a guy, they don't ever say, well, let me tell you what, she never grew up until she met that guy, and then he really, right? Like, it's not that, it's the other way around, but don't they say that about every guy? Like, let me tell you what he was like before he met her, and then, boy, she really changed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really grew up. Like, that's what people say.
Yeah.
There's no other way, like, that's really, I think that's a, for literally every, it's probably been muttered in some sort of sense at every wedding ever.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, he was a real something.
You set him
something
straight.
Not bad, but something, right? Until he met her. And then look what she did with him.
He's a better man now.
Right, yeah.
That's every speech at every wedding ever.
Of course.
But because it involves Taylor Swift, it's news. Speaking of the NFL, though, I don't know if you saw this news over the weekend. You know, there's been all these athletes who've had their homes broken into.
Well, there's
they arrested a couple guys in Ohio.
Home that I read something.
We talked about another home last
about
week.
About you.
Who was, there was an actor last week, right? It was Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban.
Yeah, but there's something else after that. But maybe you're going to hit me that with this news story.
Well, this is a little lacking. Like we don't have the details because they're not saying specifically who it was, at least. Every time I've checked, I still haven't gotten an update. They're unidentified. They're just saying it's two NFL players, and a lot of the outlets are using New York Jets helmets. I mean, this happened in the area, so people are assuming that they're Jets players. Okay. But these two guys were held up at gunpoint in broad daylight, and of course, the question is, are these things connected? The home break-ins, these guys getting robbed at gunpoint, and now the big thing is that they're worried about player safety, specifically the NFL, but professional athletes in general, I guess. But they're worried about NFL player safety.
We're learning of yet another in a series of robberies of high-profile athletes. This time, police say two victims were stalked by three men from Manhattan to New Jersey and robbed at gunpoint in broad daylight. Neighbors say one of the victims plays for the New York Jets. The suspects still on the run.
So there you go. They're looking for him, but is it connected? Now, they did arrest a couple guys. They released that body cam footage of the arrest that they thought were connected to the Joe Burrow home break-in.
Right.
I don't know if all of these, if they think that all of these are still being done by the same ringleader in South America or what. Like, when they arrested those guys in Ohio, it was never clear to me if they were saying these guys are working for that group. They are part of that group. The media certainly made it seem like they were, but I don't know. So, how many more people are there? How many people do they have working for them? Have any of the break-ins been the actual same physical person at the crime scene? You know, do they think that any of the same people, or do they send different people in each city to break into different homes? The whole thing just sounded a little crazy, a little fantastic.
Right.
This idea that there's this organized crime ring in South America, and they're... But it's not impossible.
No, okay, but I don't understand why they would have to be in South America.
Right.
I feel like somebody with American ingenuity could pick that up.
Right. I don't really understand. So obviously, I mean, you heard her say another robbery.
Right.
In the string of incidents. So they want us to think at least that it's connected, but I don't know. Getting robbed at gunpoint, I mean, in that situation, I saw the neighbor on TV. The neighbor thinks that it was... I guess this neighbor of his who plays for the Jets, and so they were interviewing him, and he was just talking about. I mean, it looked like a pretty nice neighborhood, as you can imagine, player, and he's just saying, you know, it's always been safe, but now we got people pointing guns, and you know, they must have been targeting him. Well, I agree, there is a good chance that they targeted these guys, knowing that they were players. So maybe it is all connected. I don't know. And now the headline is they're worried about player safety. What do we do? I don't know what you do.
I'm guessing the players get bodyguards?
Yeah. And the homes have people in them at all times? Because I think almost every, if not every one of those robberies that was thwarted, it was because someone was there.
Right, there was an away game?
Yeah, so maybe you just have someone stay at the house? I don't know. It's not like they don't already have big security systems and gated driveways and all that. Based on the pictures I saw, looks like most of them do.
I would think probably a guard of some sort.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a chef, so...
If you're that rich, I would think no matter what you do for a living... If you're that rich, you probably have security. If you're living in a mansion like that, it just looks like a target. If people can drive by it, see, especially in a place like this, you know, in Kansas City.
No, there's big mansion homes. I don't think there's guards out there.
No, but everyone knows it's a celebrity because the word travels, right? That's so-and-so's house. So now that you've got these break-ins, it's like...
Well, now that you have them, right, it's probably something they have to start thinking about.
Yeah, now I think you have to have a guard now. You just have to because they know when you're gone. I don't know why someone didn't think of this before.
Right.
I'm guessing most people look at those and go, we can't break into that house. There's going to be too many cameras. There's going to be too much security. They probably do have security guards. And then they looked into it, apparently found out that they didn't, and just waited for them to have away games. So I don't know what you do. And I don't know if it's connected, but they want you to think it was. If you got held up at gunpoint, you just hand everything over, right?
Of course.
And then that's that. Do you think that you would be permanently scarred?
No.
You don't think you'd have any type of PTSD? Nervous about people following you? If you feel like someone's walking behind you, is that person
I'd probably be on more alert
after
that happened and it not happening, of course, but I don't think it'd be overly detrimental to my well-being.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, we had a guy who pulled a gun. We thought it was a BB gun. Some of my friends thought it was a gun. I don't know. Two of us thought it was a pellet gun. But there was quite a few of us there, and I always thought, I wonder if I was alone, if that would have been. Because my friends were there, it almost felt like, can you believe this is happening? And then we just handed over, and they got back in the car and drove off. But I was also outside. I think if you're in your home, that would change everything. People say now they don't feel safe in their own home. I can imagine.
Yeah.
If someone comes into your house through a window, you no longer go to bed at night without locking all your windows.
No, for sure.
You probably...
You're not as carefree, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you're getting cameras.
More jumpy.
Absolutely. And maybe you never owned a gun. And you're like, I guess not. Or a dog, or whatever.
Right.
You're getting something. And then the other big news over the weekend was Puff Daddy. Diddy. One of his lawyers quit. He's got more than one. He's got like five or six. But one of them quit. He said he can't continue under any circumstances. It certainly sounds like he didn't like what he saw. That's the way they want it to sound.
One of Sean Diddy Combs' defense attorneys is quitting, according to reports. Anthony Rico filed the motion saying he can no longer effectively serve as counsel for the disgraced music mogul. This reportedly came after Rico spoke with the head of his legal team. A judge would still have to sign off on his decision to step aside.
Okay, if you're a lawyer, I don't know, he must be paying pretty well. He can access funds to pay these lawyers. And your job is to give this person a defense. These lawyers who represent serial killers, they talk about it. Like, hey, it's their constitutional right. They needed a lawyer.
Of course, I understand the idea behind it, and I agree with it. It surprises me. It wouldn't surprise me if you were a defense attorney and a good one, say, I'm not taking the case.
Okay, right.
Right? Because you're like, it's got kids in it. Like, I will defend mob bosses, whatever, drug dealers, whatever, but... This is just a little bit, I'm uncomfortable with it. But once you take the case, then I'm like, well, what did you learn?
That's exactly, so you
what did you learn that was new? You already knew what he was accused of. What? You thought he was innocent of all of it? Like, I don't believe that.
Yeah, so what's in there
By
now?
The way, I don't think you should be asking him if he's innocent of all of it.
No, he deserves a defense.
It's none of your business.
He deserves a defense. But I agree. That's exactly what I was going to get to, is the thought that if he took the case in the first place, he was aware of what some of these allegations were. What did he learn along the way that made him say, I can't do this? Is it just that he thought, we can't even put up a good defense? He's going to get crushed, and I don't want to be a part of it. Or is it some of the stuff that's in here is just too much, and I've changed my mind. I can no longer defend this guy. It's got to be one of those things.
Yeah, I would think they're getting crushed. Who cares?
You still get paid.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you say, hey, if you're
not like one of these things where people are like, is he innocent or is he not? And if you blow it, you blow it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If he gets found guilty, nobody's like, oh, you're a bad lawyer. And if you happen to pull off the OJ thing, you're a hero.
That's it.
Like,
now you're the biggest defense.
I don't know if you're a hero, but you're a celebrity.
Yes, celebrity
with a ton of money.
A lot of money,
and considered one of the best legal minds in the history of the United States, right? So, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't try.
Unless, like, is it possible that Puff Daddy's yelling at him all the time and he's like, I hate this guy?
Like,
just screaming at him, what are you doing? And maybe you're just like,
or maybe he's not telling him everything. Like, you're trying to get, like, hey, just tell me what I need to know. Where were you on this day? And then he finds out that he was somewhere else and he's not telling him the truth.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be enough to where, like, I can't even defend. I don't know what this dude. I can't defend him.
Yeah. Maybe. Well,
I would think that's probably more closer to accurate.
He's still got four or five lawyers left, so it should be okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
We're going to talk about these romance scams come for a second. The FBI might be looking for you. I accidentally clicked on the FBI's link earlier. That might be why my internet wasn't working, because I started getting this thing and it said, we're verifying. It had an FBI seal. I was like, what is happening? I thought I was clicking on a story about one of these romance scams. Turns out I was clicking on one of these forms to fill out to say that I was a victim, and I backed out of there real quick. Internet still doesn't work, by the way. I told the IT guy it does. I was kind of worried that maybe he would say, like, hey, you're not supposed to have that computer on the internet anyway, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because yours was working, mine's not.
I mean, he was
not
down here saying that everything's fine.
And you guys all said yours was fine.
But mine was messing up, too, on my phone earlier.
It's not like it's going in and out. It doesn't work at all. I think that there's something on there. I'll just use my phone. It's fine. So we're going to talk about romance scams. But, Laszlo, you were out on Friday. I was going to talk to you about this on Friday, but you weren't here. How about this? First of all, baseball. We've got baseball on in the studio
right now.
Yeah. I mean, the weather warmed up, like, you know, yesterday. Yeah. And it's supposed to be pretty nice all week, right?
Yeah, a little bit cooler next week, I guess. But
yeah, but this,
not bad.
This gets us a taste, and
there.
You get to put baseball on. Yeah. The big news was that Steinbrenner's kid,
Hal
Steinbrenner,
have beards.
Yeah, I didn't know that they had a beard.
Nice
band.
Made the change. Talked to the players this morning at the team meeting. I think they understand what my thought process was as well. There will be parameters to this, and they know that.
But you can have a beard.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to have one if you're a Yankee forever.
I didn't know that. Is it just the Yankees?
Yeah, it was their team policy. If you're going to go and become a Yankee, you had to shave your beard.
Okay, interesting. And was there a reason for that?
I think Steinbrenner just wanted him to look a certain way. And so, you know, dress code.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, look like Yankees. You're going to shave.
Wasn't a superstition or anything. Well, then I could also see him. It'd be kind of hard, I guess, to be like, I don't want tattoo sleeves. You know, something like that.
Well, I think they certainly, over the years, have lost out on free agents who may have gone to the Yankees who were like, man, I'll keep my beard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys with beards.
Yeah.
That kind of limits it a little bit. There got to be guys who are like, I don't want to do it.
Of course, over the years of people who are like, well, I can pick between these two teams and it's the same money.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go where I can keep my beard. Or it's close.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go where I can keep my beard, of course.
Well, you know, on one hand, I applaud that they did it as long as they did. That's kind of crazy because I didn't know that it was a thing. I feel like just about every company, every employer, not all of them, but so many of them have gotten rid of or severely decreased their basically appearance standards.
Right, sure.
Used to be no visible tattoos, no this, no that, and they've just all had to get rid of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, nowadays, if I see a white guy in decent shape with tattoo sleeves, I think, oh, he's probably a cop. I mean, it seems like every cop I see has the tattoo sleeves now.
Or a cook,
yeah.
Chef.
But it's crazy how many cops, you know, they went from not being allowed to have tattoos at all to now I never see cops that aren't covered in tattoos. All right, we're going to talk about these romance scammers. I want to find out if you're a victim in a second.
Church of Laszlo.
All right, romance scammers.
Yeah, you think of romance scams, I think of a lot of, at least on those shows. I'm not trying to be sexist. In the shows, there's a show on one of those, Max or something, that I watched, and I think it was all women talking about these guys, like the Brad,
you know,
where they send pictures and they're rich, but they can't access their money. They talk to them for months. Obviously, they never meet them. They talk to them for months, start to earn their trust, and then they say, oh, you know what, I'm out of the country, I can't access my card.
Right.
And they start getting money from these women.
Sure.
Tens of thousands. Some of them say 20,000, some say 75,000. It's crazy. But it's a long con. It takes a while. And I'm sure, obviously, guys get scammed too. But it feels like now the current news is about guys getting scammed by these women on dating apps, which is perfect because horny always wins.
Sure.
And horny makes you so
horny.
Horny, you're gullible, you're dumb.
Yep. Vulnerable.
You just make bad decision after bad decision.
Sure. And if you know it's a bad decision.
Exactly. You can logically go, this is stupid. Why would I give this girl that information?
My social security number and email.
Right.
Why would I do that?
All you've seen are her profile pics on Hinge.
But I'm going to do it.
But you're going to do it. And so these girls, in these instances, they meet up with the guys. And so you see them in person. They're real.
Yeah.
They're attractive. But once they earn your trust, they take advantage. The current woman who's in the news is named Aurora Phelps. Not only does she take advantage, but she's accused of killing people. She's been, accused of at least one. There's other people that died that they know or think she's connected to, but they haven't charged her with those yet. But she's a 43-year-old woman from L.A. They arrested her in Mexico. She basically would meet older guys online on these dating apps. She enticed them to meet in person. Hey, you know, I'm younger. Here's this guy that's older. And again, now you're adding, so I'm horny. I'm an older guy, and there's a younger woman wanting to meet me. I mean, now you'll really do stupid things. If you've got your max age set at 45 or whatever, here comes this young woman, and she's interested in you, and you're in your 50s or 60s. Well, yeah. Now I really, how many women of that age are matching with me, right? I mean, some of these guys may have some money, so they might be used to that. But to the guys who don't have a ton of money, they're definitely not used to it. So she starts taking advantage of older men, and she would lure them, they think, into these different areas, and then she would try and drug them, and some of them, and kill them. And some of them died, some of them survived. But the FBI is actually looking for people that they think may have been victims of this woman. It sounds like she lived in Vegas for quite a while, which is, again, another good place to be. So now I'm in Vegas on vacation. I'm horny and I'm old.
Right.
And here comes this younger woman.
Of course.
And she wants to hang out with me. You always make bad decisions in Vegas. It's part of their ad campaign.
Right, of why you go there.
It's the whole thing. You do things in Vegas that you would never do here. You walk home from a casino at night and some girl crosses you on the passes by you on the street and makes it clear that she's an escort. You take advantage of that sometimes in Vegas. Sure. You probably don't here.
No.
Here you'd be thrown off. Like, what are you doing? No, it's a Wednesday. But in Vegas, you're like, yes, I'm drunk, I'm horny, I'm old. Yeah, here comes this woman. So that would be a perfect place to be set up. So the FBI is looking for people that, then you can just search her name, Aurora Phelps, and find out if, you know, she looks like someone you know, I guess.
Federal officials announcing the unsealing of charges Friday against 43-year-old Aurora Phelps, a woman accused of drugging men and women and stealing from them.
Once she incapacitated her victims, Phelps stole their cars, accessed their bank and brokerage accounts to withdraw cash, used their credit cards to make a variety of purchases, including luxury retail goods and gold.
In one case, Phelps allegedly attempted to liquidate $3 million in stock.
You know, this is one of those things that I've always kind of wondered.
She's
kind of
hot.
She's kind of hot. And I've always wondered, when you get older, is younger always younger? I'm not saying it's the same as being 22, that they're all equal. But that if you're 10 years younger, 15 years younger, something, that's still... that's still a plus. So if you're in your 60s or your 70s, and this 43-year-old comes along, she's a lot younger. You know,
she's younger than you.
It's the best 43 will ever look, I think, is when you're in your 60s or 70s. I mean, that's got to be very exciting. And that's why she takes advantage of that. Of course, I would think older men also have more money. Now, there's been a bunch of guys.
I'm looking at pictures of her.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of guys who've gotten ripped off lately by these romance scammers, and the FBI's warning people. And one of them is this guy.
In addition to the credit card uses, Phelps also allegedly transferred $7,000 from the victim's Capital One account to buy a motorcycle.
Stole money in every way she
can. Two other wire transfers of approximately $1,500 and $2,000 into her account and her husband's.
Pretty good. I mean, you find out that, I'll tell you, this next guy, he got ripped off bad, different girl, but he got ripped off bad, and same sort of thing. When he found out he was getting ripped off, it was for a ton of money, but then he finds out she'd been ripping him off for smaller amounts, which is still a ton of money to me. This guy is in Florida. I don't know what this guy does for a living. I saw him on TV. I just know he's rich. He has a yacht. I mean, he looks young. How old are you, Snow Cone?
36.
Okay, I'd say he's 10 years younger than you, he looks. He's got to be in his 20s, probably. But he has a bunch of money. And he met this girl on one of these dating apps. They don't say which one, but he met her on a dating app. And they dated for 6 months. So this, just like those older women that are getting conned on that television show, this girl was planning this kind of long con. It's like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, you know? You take your time, earn their trust, and then you get access to the stuff.
Right.
So after
it's so funny that, by the way, on this last story, like if you read this headline, like you said, it's Nevada woman indicted in romance scheme to defraud seniors.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it's the Brad Pitt thing. Like, oh, she's sending them emails and getting their stuff. She murdered a dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's murder.
Probably murdered more than one.
And kidnapping.
Yeah. They're charged with that murder, but there's three other guys
that died. Three counts of mail fraud, six counts of bank fraud, three counts of identity theft, one count of kidnapping, and one count of kidnapping resulting in death.
Yeah.
But the headline is Nevada woman indicted in romance scheme.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's serious. And there were more guys that died. So I get the impression that they must think that.
Right.
She has something to do
with that. Just saying, it's not Las Vegas woman indicted for murdering dudes.
Right. Right. Raping and murdering dudes, man. Who knows what's going on there?
Las Vegas woman indicted for raping and murdering dudes. It's no. Las Vegas woman indicted for romance scheme.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. That's what they call these. It's a romance scheme if you get. If you're a guy and you get suckered into this, I think that's when it becomes a romance scam, right?
Yeah, even if you get murdered?
Yeah, I guess
like
so.
It's not, the murder's not the headline.
The ultimate scam.
The murder's not the headline here.
Right. Yeah, no, it's crazy. But it is possible that these other guys died from old age. I don't know. But the FBI makes it seem like they're going to try and connect those two. So this guy in Florida, he's with this girl for 6 months. I don't know on the last one with Aurora how much time she spent with these guys. But it seems like they did meet up because she was getting access to this stuff. But I'm getting the impression that these romance scams that they're telling us to watch out for, it is girls that you meet online. So now, you got that in your mind. You think, oh, I know some women now are ripping guys off. But you're already horny. You're on a dating app. Here comes this 22-year-old girl in this next story. She matches with you, and then you date her for 6 months. What am I supposed to do? I can't prepare for this. If someone wants to rip me off this way, they're going to rip me off this way. If even if I'm thinking, man, the FBI says I should be, you know, really on edge about this whole thing, and just be skeptical. But after 6 months, and you guys get along great,
yeah.
Well, of course, if she wants to do it, she's going to be able to do it. If they're willing to take this long to do it, it's
so how much did she get?
A lot. So he's got a yacht. I don't know what he does, but he sounds like he has a lot of money. They're on the yacht together. He falls asleep on the yacht. They're taking a nap. He falls asleep. He wakes up and can't find her. Then he finds his phone, and he sees that this woman transferred $800,000 of Trump coin to one of her accounts, the Trump crypto coin, whatever that's called. $800,000. I mean, that's an issue. So that's the first thing that he notices. Once he realizes he's been scammed, he goes through and finds more stuff that she'd stolen. She'd been stealing money from his credit cards, just like the other woman, spending American Express money, getting Airbnbs, sending money to friends and family, the whole
eventually
deal.
In our conversation, I had fallen asleep laying down on the bed. When I woke up, she was gone.
Bravo says 22-year-old Maisa Jabali quietly left his yacht with her bags. When he checked his crypto accounts, the damage was done.
She unlocked my phone and transferred $850,000 of Trump coin from my Phantom wallet directly into her Phantom wallet.
So she knows how to do this,
right?
Because I wouldn't know how to do that.
No,
you give me your phone.
She probably learned from him.
Exactly. She's keeping an eye on her. She's watching. She knows. And you know he has money. He's got a yacht.
Hey, he's got $850,000 of Trump coin. I mean, I know what Trump coin is, but is that worth a lot now? Or
I don't know. Like, has it gone up? Did it flatten out? I haven't kept up with the Trump crypto. But I mean, it went way up when he won the election, right? Wasn't that the big story? All crypto did, but I think his did too. But I don't know. In the past, I don't think how the hell would you get that $800,000? It would take a lot more work, and it would take longer. You're going to have to go to a bank in person and do these things. With crypto, sounds like you can just transfer huge sums of money from one account to another. All she had to do was get that phone unlocked, which I'm a little curious how she did that. If you're using facial recognition or something and he's asleep, it won't open if your eyes are closed. But maybe he was using an Android.
You know for sure it won't?
Well, it depends on the phone, I guess. And you can change that setting. You can change it to say, hey, I don't have to look at the camera.
Okay.
You can turn if I open my phone, put it right in front of me, and I'm looking away like that, it won't unlock.
Well, there's a chance she just saw his passcode.
Yeah, she might have just seen the passcode, used that, gets into it, and now she gets into his crypto thing. I don't know if those are password protected or not, because I don't have any crypto, but she manages to steal over $800,000 from him.
$800,000 in crypto, you think it's password protected?
You would think so, exactly.
But again, maybe it's the same code he uses for his phone.
Yeah, maybe she waited for him to get drunk, she watched him, and she was writing the stuff down. She stole a bunch, and last week they announced that they were looking for her. There was talk about how they wanted to send ICE to get her because she's from, like, Tunisia or something, and they wanted to deport her. Well, she's been caught. She's currently in ICE custody, and she will probably be deported. But they want us to know, hey, guys, this is happening. Be careful. And I want them to know there's nothing we can do about it. If a 22-year-old girl enters our life via a dating app where I was looking for girls and hangs out with me for 6 months, it doesn't even take 6 months. A girl could fool me into thinking she likes me.
Well, I mean, I got
and
no
one day,
money to take regardless.
Well, that's the thing. What are they going to take from me? So I have to play pretend a little bit. Let's imagine that I did have something that she wants to take, some credit card numbers, some crypto, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to get past that. But if I did, it wouldn't change anything because horny always wins. And meeting this girl in person and talking to her more than a few times, and she tells me she loves me, whatever else, I'll believe her. I'm going to believe her in that moment. And you're having sex? I mean, you're having a lot of sex. You've been together for 6 months. You're going to the bars together. There's pictures of them, you know, on their nights out. He thought that they were in love. What do you want him to do? I guess maybe get a better password for your phone. Maybe that's what the FBI means, like lock this stuff down because the woman in your life could steal it. But whatever the case, look at the woman sitting next to you right now and just realize, no matter how many years you've been married,
she's going to try to steal from you.
She's going to try and steal everything.
The Church of Laszlo.
Who's your favorite?
Favorite what?
Your favorite kid.
Oh, I have one.
I don't know about that.
What, you think I do?
I have something that,
it says I do?
Yeah, there's some evidence.
I'm like Deion Sanders, where he says you rank them daily.
Oh, yeah, that's
it
right.
Changes
he did
daily.
Rank them. Yeah. Just depends on what they did recently.
Sometimes they're tied. Sometimes I really like one more than the other, for sure.
So if one has a great game and the other one just had a horrible game.
Or one did washed the dishes like I asked, and the other one didn't.
You know, gave you grief?
You know, sliding scale.
But in that moment, do you tell yourself, what was I ever thinking? Ever making the other one my favorite? Mm-hmm. This one's obviously my favorite.
No.
Because there's...
I wouldn't even think about it until you asked. And you're like, which one's your favorite? I'm like, oh, right now. That one's still got to clean his room. I like the other one.
So you know.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But no parent ever wants to answer the question of if you're holding your kids' hands, they fell off a cliff, mm-hmm. and letting go of them. No one wants to answer that question.
Mm.
And most of the time, you can't even get someone to try to answer it.
Right.
You maybe will get someone to go with age. You know, like, well, but they're not going to... I don't think I've ever heard someone actually answer it. I don't have kids, but I assume I would have a favorite if I had kids. It makes sense. You have favorites in life. People that you like, and especially as the kids get older.
Yeah, probably as they're older, as they become grown, like in their 30s or 40s, you probably have one that you get along with better.
Oh, I would think that with the kids, they'd only have to be 8, 9, 10, something like that. Now that they're kids and they're talking
still,
about...
You know, they're still forming their personalities, probably when they're 30 or 40, and you see who they are, what they are.
So the one who's nice to you still and comes around and helps out, whatever.
Well, maybe. Yeah. One who, you know, still has interests that are similar. It might not even have to be that.
Yeah.
You know? It could be a million different things.
My brothers and I would argue about who the favorites are. Mm. Because, you know, something that you do, that siblings do. Well, I don't know if you and your sibling ever did.
It's obvious.
That you're the favorite?
That I'm not.
That you're not the favorite?
Yeah.
I thought you might be, you know, sometimes...
My mom had a chance to move anywhere, and she moved literally within 5 minutes of my sister.
That's true. But maybe she just didn't like other people that lived here. I don't know.
My kids? That's it.
Yeah, okay, you're right. I don't know. Maybe she just didn't want to move here. I don't know.
Okay.
How far away was your sister? That was still somewhat close to home, where she was,
it was,
right?
Like, yeah, originally.
Yeah,
close to Detroit.
Going back, that's, and you know, okay, the sister might be the favorite.
Yes.
But I want to know who your favorite is here in a second, and you can't tell me you don't have one, because I've got something that says you do.
The Church of Laszlo.
So who's your favorite kid? There have been... I've seen stuff about studies looking into who... The one a few years ago is who is the favorite based on their birth order. Like, is the oldest the favorite or is the youngest the favorite? Do middle children really get ignored? That part I've heard before. That is true. They did a study a few years back. It's probably been 10 years now. But they looked at photo albums, baby photos, and just photo albums in general of people's kids, and they noticed if they had three kids or more,
okay,
they noticed the middle child or middle children, they had the fewest pictures of them. They were taking more pictures of the oldest, and then, of course, the youngest. So the middle child tended to be, I don't remember what all that says. I remember they said that the middle child tends to be a little bit quieter. The other two are kind of fighting back and forth for, I guess, favorites.
Okay.
Favoritism. But this new study was done at BYU. And they said, look, no doubt about it, parents have favorites. No one is unbiased. What they did was they looked at how much time a parent spent with each kid.
Okay.
There's several things. How much time they spent with the kid, how much money they spent on the kid.
Okay.
How much praise they gave the kid, stuff like that. And then also, they want to know if your kids are both upset about the same thing. So let's say they have a Nerf gun fight,
mm-hmm.
and they're both saying, he hit me. Which kid is the parent more likely to side with? Because they found that parents are biased, and they will side with one of the kids. Now, they may not talk about it. They probably don't talk about it. But that they do have some sort of a bias. There is something, actually, Laszlo, that said it can change. It can be fluid.
Yeah. Okay.
That you can have a favorite based on recent behavior.
That last part doesn't mean that I like one of them better than the other one, though. It's about like, hey, he hit me and I hit me, and I have an idea of which one probably started it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I like the one that started it less. I may like them more. That's making it say like, oh, well, I took the other one's side. That means I like him more. That's not necessarily true.
Well, the example they gave was like a snowball fight. They both say they want to have a snowball fight. They both hit each other with the snowball, and they both are like, hey, he hit me too hard with the snowball.
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, well, you both wanted to do this. A lot of times the parents would side with the youngest, if the youngest was involved, mm-hmm. I guess, because they feel like they got to protect them. It's an age thing. That doesn't seem so crazy.
But it still doesn't mean that I like them more.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there between, like, I think the oldest started it. I may like him more for starting it, but as a parent, I have to regulate this.
Right. Well, who do you think, let's say that you've got three or more kids.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is... the favorite based on birth order most often?
I know people would say the baby.
That's what I've always
thought. But I think the oldest.
Yeah. They said
you spent more time with him.
They said that older study found that in the birth order,
you know him better.
The oldest kid tended to be viewed, especially by the other kids, as the favorite.
Yeah.
And that the oldest got more leeway than the others. So they were granted more freedoms at the same ages. Yeah. So they turn 16, they're allowed to drive around more, and then you get another kid who's 16. I always thought it was just the opposite. My mom talked about that all the time.
It's the exact opposite.
She became less and less strict with each kid because I
think they're right, done it. Because I think you learn.
Maybe.
Right?
I learned from
if they're the same sex and everything else, and you're like, well, yeah, I used to let your brother drive to concerts at 16, and then he got in a wreck and got in trouble, so you're like, well, can I go? You let him drive? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Because I learned my lesson from the stuff that I shouldn't have let him do that I did.
Like my middle sister, when she got a tattoo, my mom cried, was devastated. When I got a tattoo, you know, 7-8 years later, she was excited and wanted to see it.
Similar stuff with my mom.
Yeah, but
I think
sex has changed that.
It does, and they talk about that.
I think sex changes that a lot. Like, there are things that my sister would be like, you're letting him do that?
Yeah.
You know, you never let me do that at 15. My dad would be like, yeah, he's a dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, I will let him walk home from the dance.
Well,
sorry. But, yeah. It's not that I don't trust you. It's that I don't trust dudes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he's going to get jumped and raped.
It was
just pretty obvious. You know, there's just differences. He treated us differently, for sure.
And I think everybody who has siblings, at some point, whether they were kids or adults,
there's the thing. Like, people would say, well, he favorited him because he let him do more things than he let her. That doesn't mean that he loved me more.
That's what I think.
He was very protective of her because maybe he loved her more.
That, they said this twice about the freedoms.
One or the other, but yeah, that certainly could be.
I thought the exact same thing. Like, maybe you aren't...
I think at least with sexes, he was like, you know, no, I'm more worried about her.
Yeah, and even if you are the same, if you're both dudes or you're both girls, I don't know that giving the oldest one more freedom necessarily means that you favorite them or trust them more. It could just mean that you're not as worried about it. That if they get a tattoo, it wouldn't hurt as bad as if your baby got a tattoo.
And it could just be that you don't know.
Yeah.
What you don't know, you don't know. You know, you ain't sound like a politician, but you don't know.
And
so you're like, well, I guess every kid does do this at 16. He says his friends are doing it.
Right.
And as you go through it, you're like, not every kid does this. And no, you can't do it. Your brother fooled me. You're not going to fool me.
Well, one of the things, as they said, it is hard to try and figure out who the favorite is, if parents have favorites, because most of the time, they're not going to say it if they do most of the time. But most of the time, most parents, they said, it's unconscious. They don't know that they have a favorite. They don't know that they're treating one any better than the other one. And so that's why they do this research to look at it and see, okay,
right,
how much time do you spend with them? How much money do you spend with them? Whose side do you take? All those things. But I just think that there could be more to it. I'm totally with you on the granting more freedoms. I think that could also be interpreted as, yeah, that means that they're not as worried about that kid.
Right.
They're not as worried about him. Not because they think they're smarter necessarily or anything. Right. They're just...
Or they could, like, I mean, I don't know. It'd be really hard for these things that they're saying prove their favorites. It could just be like, I give this one more leniency to go out and stay out later because he's proven to be responsible. You, on the other hand, come home drunk with your pants around your legs, puking on the wall. So you, my friend, doesn't mean I like you less or more, but you don't get to go out every night.
Right.
The other one, you know, comes home.
Yep. That was the thing in my house. My second oldest brother, if he said, like, I'm going to spend the night at somebody's house, my parents would have been like, okay. The rest of us could have said, asked the same thing, and they might have told us no. And that came up a lot. People saying, oh, you know, you favorite Pat. You let Pat do whatever he wants. But even at a pretty young age, I started to realize, oh, well, Pat's different.
Right, Pat's responsible.
He's gotten straight A's all through school.
Right.
He's gone, you know, everything has been by the books. He's done everything right. He never gets in trouble. Never. Like, literally, the guy never got in trouble.
Right.
And I think that that's worth something to parents.
But by the way, it's worth it to everyone.
Of course.
You earn responsibility and leeway. You earn that. And it's a sliding scale. Like, everything's great, 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 and then you screw up, and you're like, well, now we got to bring it back a little bit. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, those talks that parents gave where they said, well, now You've lost my trust, and you're going to have to earn that back over time. We've all heard that a million times. My brother Pat never heard that because he never did anything
he never lost their trust.
That caused them to lose trust in him. So here's what they found overall. They do say that there are favorites, first of all. They also say that at least they seem to hint at the idea that the oldest might be a favorite a lot of times based on their research. But they did say...
But sometimes a little smart-ass one, you know, in my case, makes me laugh. Like, he does... push the limits more than the other one. But it makes me laugh. Like, he's always asking to spend the night over at someone's house. And I have those things on there. It was like one night it was like 12:30 and he's at McDonald's. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we just walked to McDonald's. I'm like, you are 13.
Yeah.
Go back to that house where you're supposed to be at. And then, you know, I don't want to use any names. I talk to go out to dinner with these friends of ours. And their kid is friends with my kid. Yeah. And they're like, did you see, you know, thank God for late 360. They're out at McDonald's at like midnight or whatever, 2 a.m, whatever it was. She's like, and I told them, it doesn't matter. You're too young to be doing that. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. So I came home and I said, hey, your other friend's parents told me about that, too. They knew it, too. So within 6 hours, he texts me and he says, and I'll just say that his friend's name is Slim.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hey, can I spend the night at so-and-so's house? Slim will be there. I just want to make sure that he doesn't go out too late. I'm sorry. That's funny, right? Like, I'm like, so it doesn't mean I say no, you can't, but it doesn't mean I like you less.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
There's things
like,
you can say and do.
It kind of makes me like, you know,
exactly.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I just, as we talked about earlier, I just want to make sure that none of these kids are out at McDonald's late at night. I'm like, okay.
Right. And look, I don't have kids, but I do have 3 older brothers. So I understand when they ask parents and they say, you know, which life are you saving? That is an impossible question.
Of course.
Because my brothers are all very different people. And so we all have very different things that we talk about, that we connect over. And so if I'm going to talk about certain things, I go to my youngest brother. If I'm going to talk about other things and so on. So it really, I understand it, and I assume that that's kind of similar to what a parent feels, but on top of that, now you're talking about your own children, which there's nothing you can love more in the world, right? So they did say definitively, again, this is just this study out of BYU, but they did say that daughters, so if you have 3 boys and 1 daughter, 2 boys and 1 daughter, the daughter's going to be the favorite. Like, overwhelmingly, the daughter is going to be the favorite if you have a daughter with brothers.
Okay.
So apparently that's very common. That goes for the mom and the dad. They love the daughter. She's their princess, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they are more protective of them. And I think that goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of this, like your dad. I think that there are societal things that cause parents to say, you can't do this, but your brother can. That's not necessarily them playing favorites. It's that they think the world is
more
unfair.
Dangerous for you.
Yeah. And so are certain things that are more dangerous for you, exactly.
Which, by the way, I know there's people saying, like, oh, you guys are being sexist. I don't really see how you've told me over and over again that the world's more dangerous for women. Right? So
yes,
I'm just listening. If I have a daughter, then I'm just listening to you.
Yeah.
Like, you've told me over and over it's more dangerous for women, so
and you have to
don't get to do as much. So you don't get to do as much.
I feel the need to protect you a little bit more.
Right.
I don't know that that means that they're your favorite, but this study seems to...
No, I don't think it means that they're your favorite either. Although I do know a guy, again, I'm trying to keep names out of this. I do know a guy who has 2 sons and a daughter, and he's always wearing a shirt that says, like, the daughter's the youngest, but he's always wearing shirts that say, like, a dad and daughter's bond cannot be broken.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I think we know who your favorite is. So maybe there's something to it. I just have 2 boys, so.
Well, I always thought, and I guess this isn't true, but I always thought that it was a girl, the chances are dad's going to be the favored parent. Because you're a daddy's girl, and you love dad so much, and you and mom bicker a lot, especially by the time you get into your teens and all that. And if you're a boy, then you're a mama's boy. I've said that to people, and they're like, no, that's not how it works
at all. I'm not sure that's how it works.
That's not how it works at all. I still sort of wonder about that. And with your example, that's the first thing I thought, was like, yeah, that's kind of what I think with the daddy's girl. He's got 1 girl, then he's got these boys, and he's very open about with these t-shirts and everything
protected.
Else about his love of his daughter. So I don't know. And you only have 2 boys, so you don't know. Snowcomb, he's trying to have another kid. But he only has 1 boy.
Women.
Yeah, he only has 1 boy. And
are you your mom's favorite?
Probably.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we always
All right. When you're a kid, you're your mom's favorite. Are you still your mom's favorite?
Yeah,
like,
probably.
This moment.
Yeah. Probably.
At this moment.
Yeah, probably.
All right. I would think that would just change, you know, and go up and down depending on.
We always joke about it, and you know, I don't want to say I actually am, but I think if my two sisters and me were guessing, I think I would probably be the favorite.
Okay, yeah, my brothers disagree still a little bit. I think that my mom.
What
wants
are they
us to
like? Serial killers or something?
No. He's the boy.
Well, you gotta pick a
mama's
favorite.
Boy.
The other two are murderers,
yeah,
so
I'm
guess
the
it's
only boy.
I think
he's
she,
the mama's
yeah.
boy. That's it. He's the only boy.
Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right. There's two topics that can come up that I like to talk about a lot. Ozempic is one of them. I'm not talking about
you
it. No,
it.
I'm not. That was it. I'm not talking about it today. But my other favorite, I do want to talk to you about my other favorite, because there was one the other day that I was like, I kind of want to talk about this. But now there's two. Now there's two of these things that both involve my favorite subject, which is people winning the lottery.
Oh,
big
yeah.
lottery prizes.
Like Ozempic and
lotteries. People winning gambling in general. People win a lot of money gambling.
Like
it's a hell of a thing. Unless you're with them and they're playing the machine you just got up.
Well,
from.
There could be some jealousy.
Yeah.
But I still like it.
Yeah.
Like, if you win, yeah, I'll be jealous. And there's envy and all that stuff you're not supposed to have. But I am happy for you if you won a lot.
Me too.
I am.
It's exciting.
I mean, less happy than, oddly enough, probably less happy than someone I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Meaning, like, if you win, not you, but
somebody
say
else.
Someone here at work won $20 million. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Right? As compared to, you know, maybe someone I don't know who works in a building across the street. Like, oh, good for them.
Yeah.
There's a little bit less envy. There's more envy if I know you.
Same at the casino. If someone wins a jackpot, you're like, hey, good job. Look at that. Look at what they just won.
Yeah.
If it's someone you're with, man, when I was with Nick Wright last time, we went to the casino, and we're on the way out, and he stops. He's like, I'll play one of these slot machines. What do I do? And I'm like, well, it couldn't be easier. So he plays the slot machine, and within the first five spins, he won like $3,000.
Right.
And so then I told him, hey, it just paid out. So, you know, some people say to keep going. Other people say, you know, time not to lose all that money. The person had to go back in the back. They had him sign his name and all that. So they were waiting. He was waiting on his actual money. So while he's waiting on his money, he's like, I'll just do a few more spins. And he won like another $3,000.
Good for him.
So I was excited for him, genuinely. But there's also part of me that's like, man, damn it. Why didn't I do that?
Right.
But
I could have played this machine.
It is exciting. You're right. It's just jealousy. It's not actual anger.
No,
it's just envy.
Just jealousy. Like, sad I didn't get it.
No.
Yeah,
bummer.
I could have used that $6,000.
Yeah, but you are excited for the person. I'm excited for these people. I don't even know them. Like you said, and I'll tell you about them in a second.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, this is crazy. I know I get a little too excited about lottery stories, but it's because... Who doesn't love a lottery story? Everyone likes to fantasize and pretend what it would be like to win the lottery. But I've never heard of anything like this. I've heard lots of scary stories about somebody winning and then they can't find the ticket or something horrible. I did see a guy actually, I don't remember what state he was in. Someone on Twitch might know. It was a recent story. He won $57,000 at the casino. I think he hit a slot machine.
Okay, how much? $57,000.
That's a good chunk of change. But when he went to collect it, they said, oh, you can't win it. Because you had previously banned yourself from the casino.
Oh.
You know, some states have those things where you can
do
the bets off type stuff. I guess because he'd banned himself, they said, you can't win it. You weren't even supposed to be here.
That doesn't sound right to me.
No, that sounds
bad.
I mean,
that sounds like you should catch me before I'm in
me
there.
Me too. I made it in, and I'm gambling, but I guess maybe you don't stop people that
maybe
look like they're
holding up. Maybe you signed something.
You must. Because, you know, the what's that called? It's like the, what do we used to call that list?
It
was the bets off thing, and I can't remember. But you would be on a list that I thought you couldn't get into any casinos anyway.
Yeah, but maybe if you don't need an ID or anything to walk into one.
Yeah.
So you walk in. I'm guessing. I've never thought about joining that banned list. But now that you say it, maybe in that when you give your name and your ID, you sign something that says, I mean, that would be the easiest way to keep you out of
there. Exactly. You can't win anyway.
If you win, we're going to keep your money.
Yeah.
So,
it's the best incentive you can give.
Right.
So it's odd that he wouldn't have known that. But
he probably did know it. But you think you'd call somebody? Well,
right.
If somebody else sit at that, but they got it on camera.
Oh yeah, they make you.
They got it on camera, man. At $57,000, it's not like, you know, that's a hand pay with taxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got you on camera. They come in. They're like, "Yo, you give them your ID." They go back. They run the ID. They go to do the taxes. You're on the list. You signed a thing that's not going to give you any money. It is what it is.
Yeah. That sucks, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if he didn't know or what, but, boy, $57,000. It was 50-some thousand dollars, I think. But this guy, this actually happened in another country. It happened in France. But this is just a crazy story. This guy wins a lot of money in the lottery. Maybe this is the guy that won $57,000. I got him reversed. I'm not sure. But this guy won a bunch of money in the lottery. The problem is he didn't buy the tickets. See, what happened here is someone stole his wallet. And they used his credit cards.
Mm.
And they bought lottery tickets, which this has happened before, where thieves have bought lottery tickets and they're not allowed to win because they figure out which credit card it was paid for. Yes. I've seen those in years past. But this time, this is the one of the bigger jackpots I've heard of. The issue is, this guy knows that these guys bought a winning lottery ticket, but they know that if they come turn themselves in, they're probably going to get arrested at this point. I guess they must have were hoping that I'll win a smaller amount. They won't look into this. If it's $50, $100, right? They just pay me the money. I don't know what that cutoff is where they go, oof, this is big enough that they're going to probably check now. I think they say in here.
Well, the French man has a unique offer to two thieves who stole his credit card and bought a winning lotto ticket. He says if they come forward, he'll split the winnings with them.
That's an interesting strategy. The winning ticket is worth a whopping $745,000. The victim says his wallet was stolen from his car, and a local shop told him two men bought the ticket. The men have not come forward to claim the jackpot.
Yeah, because if they come forward, they will probably press charges. But this guy said, and I don't know how it works over there if he's being honest. Maybe he's just trying to get his stuff back. But he said, if you come back, I'll split the winnings with you, and I won't press charges against you. So if I'm that criminal,
I do that too.
Take your chances. If you're a crook, and your friends are going, man, come on. He's going to press charges. He's full of it. They're just going to arrest you, and he's going to press charges. He wants the ticket because he doesn't have the ticket. We have the ticket. Yeah, but what else am I doing? Here, I got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it right away, but I'd find a way to get in touch with the guy, have somebody else give the ticket.
$700,000.
I'm not telling you who it is.
Yeah.
Like, we know that you could still, you know what I mean? So, I'd probably go to a lawyer.
Yeah.
An intermediary, so that, hey, I did this, but now we've got lawyer confidentiality. My lawyer will now negotiate with you about you dismissing the charges on me, and you will bring that money to my lawyer, which then, in turn, my lawyer will do it, so I'm going to give you 10%.
Yeah.
So, you can talk to my attorney. His name's Slim Fast.
Yep.
And I would have Slim Fast do go out and talk to the media right away.
Yeah.
I am these people's attorney. I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I have attorney-client privilege. I will negotiate with the man about the settlement and the money and the dispute.
Yeah, because if
that's
you did
it.
That...
Because now, whatever, you can't do anything.
If the guy who had his stuff stolen, if he hadn't come out and said this stuff, I could see maybe some lawyers would say, if you had a lawyer do that, well, now it's like almost blackmailing them, right? I've got this winning lottery ticket. You're going to split with
sure.
But this guy's already come out and said, I want you to turn yourself in, and I will split the winnings with you, and I will not press charges against you.
Right. Yeah.
He's already said it. So, yeah.
I probably have my lawyer. I don't think it'd be blackmail or anything else anyway, but I think I would have go. But this would certainly lead me to a lawyer quicker.
Yeah.
Just, all right, I just got to have a lawyer do it. It's easy.
Yeah. And it's
like, to me, it's like, not why is this even a problem?
Just
like,
it took
me 5 seconds to figure it out. Like, what would I do? At first, I thought maybe I go to the police station. No, a lawyer. I just get a lawyer, just have them negotiate.
Yeah, you're right. Just get the lawyer. They can keep you, you're right, anonymous. Yeah. And then that's it. Because I thought about
and
the lawyer.
I never have to admit guilt or anything. Whatever.
Yeah, the lawyer.
The lawyer doesn't have to tell you. I tell the lawyer what happened. It's attorney-client privilege. She negotiates with the guy that I stole the wallet from. Negotiate a settlement. She gets paid. I get paid. He gets paid. Nobody knows who I am. Great.
Yeah, and I don't think the cops can come to the lawyer and say, you got to tell us who it is, right?
No.
Or where they are. There's no way.
No way.
I don't know what the rules are there, but I feel like you can't do that.
No
so
way.
Just negotiate it. I mean, if it
I mean,
was
they could come
grand.
To her and be like, you have a client who are suspected of robbery.
Yeah.
Okay, well, find him and I'll defend him.
Yeah, but this guy's saying he's not going to press charges.
I'm not hiding him.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lawyer can't hide someone.
Okay.
Like, to get away from, like, I couldn't,
Aiden
if I was a lawyer, I couldn't be like, oh, the cops are looking for you, stay in my place.
Okay.
They do that, but you're not supposed to.
Sure.
But,
now you're breaking the law. You're aiding and abetting at that point.
Yeah, they could throw stuff at you. They probably wouldn't, but it'd be like, not only aiding and abetting, but interfering in
an investigation
or whatever, but it'd be fine. But that said, I think you know, this would be the easiest way to do it.
I think if he they'd won $5,000 and somehow it was a similar thing where they were like, oh, we're
the only problem is on once ID. You get to like a certain amount of lower money, then you're looking at a lesser of an attorney.
Yeah.
Right, because you're giving them 10% of whatever it is. 10%, I got $2,500, I give you $250. Like, well, now I don't necessarily know if you're going to stand up to the cops for attorney-client privilege and how you're going to negotiate my plea deal, my settlement. So, right. You know, but at $350, I'm going to give you $35,000. It's going to take you 5 minutes, of course.
Yeah, and when he says split, that doesn't necessarily mean split it down the middle, but mm-hmm. It could.
I think it is.
It could. I mean, it kind of sounds that way. He at least wants it to sound that way based on what I read this morning, that he's going to split it with you right down the middle. That's a lot of money, and it's worth taking the risk. You're out there stealing credit cards right now, so I'm guessing not a whole lot going on.
No. Nah. Get an attorney.
Go get that attorney, and yeah, you can't pay for
it. And
him,
you've got the leverage. You've got the leverage.
Yeah.
I've got the ticket.
Here it is.
Literally, if you want to play hardball with me and be like, no, I'm going to call the cops, you're going to jail, well, then I'll just rip it up.
Yeah, that's true. Because
well, there's nothing you can do.
If the guy goes public, and you tell him, like, if you're going to go, if the lawyer could say, if you're going to go public and say, like, hey, they're dicking me, you know, they need to, they're asking for more money, whatever. Mm. Well, then I can just rip it up. If you don't want to give me, if you don't want to split it like you said you would, right. Then just forget it.
But I don't think a lawyer has to do any of that. The lawyer could just negotiate.
And that's that.
That's it. Like, no.
And it's
done. You don't have to threaten, we'll rip it up. Like, no. This is what you want to do.
Yeah. Let's get this done before the ticket expires. For $5,000, I might be like, eh, let's lay low, because it's still enough that we got to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
So they're going to try and match it. Not worth it.
But
for seven or some grand, guys, go get it.
The Church of Laszlo.
I don't feel great. I'm still under the weather, but, today was a good show, and, you know, it's nice outside. There's baseball on TV.
Yeah.
Padres, Cubs. Not bad.
The weather changes things quite a bit.
It does, and baseball just down in the back. It makes the world a little bit better.
And we'll change the clock soon. I don't know how soon, but it's not too far away. Then it'll officially be spring.
Perfect.
So what are you doing tonight?
Oh, that's exciting.
You just going to go to bed?
Well, no, I got to coach basketball tonight.
Oh, okay. So. How are the boys doing?
They're fine. We're 2-2, buddy. 2-2.
Nice.
Yeah.
They win this weekend?
They did. A little aggressive. You know, they
that doesn't surprise me at
know,
all.
I'm the coach, and, you know, I like to play that. Detroit Pistons 1988-89 basketball. Bad boys basketball.
You started when they were five.
People were a little upset with some of the fouls. And, you know, their coach had a lot more knowledge. She seemed to be a lot more knowledgeable about basketball than I was. And so she was very upset at some of the hard fouls. And I said, well, you want to play a non-contact sport? Go play soccer, lady.
Oh.
And we won by 10.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Did she high-five you and shake your hand at the
end? She did not.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah, then you upset her, I would
there
say.
There you go, but she had a good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.